Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, ladies and gents? It's your boy, featuring the one, the only. And I just gotta say, there's a lot of stuff on my mind. I gotta process it. I gotta say, it was awesome. It was amazing. It was Monday Night Raw, which is something that you don't hear me say that often. You don't hear me say things on a positive note. It's more or less negative. So if I need to, well, I can take a step back and just say the following. Holy hell, Monday Night Raw was amazing. And while I'm counting my change here, that fell out of my ear because it was so awesome, I got it pulled up right here. So WWE Raw was September 11th yesterday, and it started off with a tribute to all the families and the people who was lost in 2011 in the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, so on and so forth. And from then on, okay, yes, where did it take place? It was Anaheim, California. Very first match was, excuse me, folks. The very first match of the evening was Roman Reigns versus Jason Jordan. That was a very good match. It was very well paced. Jason Jordan used a variety of suplexes, including belly-to-back German, side suplex. He even tried the ever-so-famed crossface, my bad. But it still wasn't enough because Roman Reigns hits a spear out of nowhere, as Michael Cole quite poignantly puts. Then you see John Cena in the back with Charlie, and he says, well, I'm going to go congratulate Roman. Gee, you know, I haven't seen someone so happy to be in the ring and to confront somebody, and even to bring up the past because, well, here's the thing. The John Cena-Roman Reigns feud will take up the bulk of my discussion, but that will be saved for later. So during the promo, you hear John Cena say, it took me 20 minutes last week to beat Jason Jordan, but it took you darn near forever. And all the rest that was said between Cena and Reigns, and Cena says, you know, call me a fake-ass bitch. Well, who looked like the bitch in this match? So obviously, they're upping the ante with promos. That's awesome. Moving forward, see Sasha versus Emma. Emma taps out to a bank statement. And I got to tell you, that match was yikes. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't good. It was in between. Emma kind of put up a fight against Sasha. I kind of, I mean, she got a few shots in here and there. But I don't know what's going to happen this Sunday. Or not this Sunday, two Sundays from now at No Mercy. Anyhow, After that, Brock Lesnar comes out with his advocate, Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman then goes on to say, I have a beast that no one had ever seen before in 2002 who beat the likes of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He also defeated Hulk Hogan. The list goes on and on. But Brock Lesnar has never been classified as the victim, as Heyman quite poignantly put it. And so then comes Braun Strowman down the ramp, and you see complete chaos come through. I mean, I've never seen someone get up from Brock Lesnar's Germans, but Braun Strowman got up from one, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you, that's a frightening sight to see, is that Braun Strowman, completely dominant, completely destroyed Brock Lesnar in that instant again. Like, I mean, the man has toppled Lesnar with, you know, an announce table. He has toppled him not once, not twice, but three times the charm, okay? So, in essence, you want amazement, you want a, you know, wowie kind of moment. Yeah, Braun Strowman basically created that. So after that, we go to another commercial break, and you see Bray Wyatt versus Goldust. Goldust comes out to the ring, his normal picture. You know, I think his entrance is fairly unique. Comes out and screams a little slow, kind of picturesque Hollywood-type view. And then Bray Wyatt comes in and interrupts and says, you're just like Finn Balor, a man in face paint. A man who hides behind the paint. He's nothing without his paint. He's just a man. So I think that was brilliant because the fans, you know, finally booed Bray. I mean, when have they not? But they've cheered and booed him. Yes, I understand that, Mikey. Yes, folks, we are doing an early edition of Off the Rails. This will be Off the Rails Uncensored Part 1. Part 2 will be on Wednesday tomorrow. We are still having our guests, Gil Rogers and Dart Allen, coming on the show, Wrestle Radio, at 4 p.m. That's a little segue for a little advertisement. But during the Bray Wyatt-Goldust match, Goldust and him fought back and forth, went outside a little bit. So it was overall, the match was okay. What happened at the end, though, was got the most heat. Bray got some heat by taking out a towel and rubbing off the face paint of Goldust. Brilliant man, Bray Wyatt, and also brilliant, I guess, in the end, of whoever decided to do that for that match. Pretty awesome. And you see Finn Balor come in to confront Bray, and Bray's, you know, does the perfect heel tactic and getting out in the ring, getting out of harm's way. Then you see the next tag team match, or supposedly scheduled tag team match, because this one broke down real quick. It was supposed to be Sheamus and Cesaro versus the Club, Gallows and Anderson. That ended up being a no contest, so Ambrose and Rollins confronted Sheamus and Cesaro, and obviously there's more than a confrontation. It's back to good old Monday Night Raw, where you see guys beat the crap out of each other, which was amazing, by the way. I see Elias Sampson, you know, antagonizing crowd after crowd. So this time, I guess, he antagonized Anaheim in a certain kind of way, and that's fine. Then you see Braun Strowman . Which is odd that they placed this match in this place. I'm kind of in agreement with you, Mike. Braun Strowman versus John Cena. And that match ended up being a disqualification. I don't think Strowman cared. Using the steel steps to beat the ever-living holy hell out of John Cena. Very, fairly interesting method, you know, saying, hey, I'm the top alpha male up in this bitch. And I, the reason why I say this is because you take one look at Braun Strowman, you take one look at John Cena. John Cena is supposed to be the Hogan of this generation, right? Killing giants, destroying everything. But no one likes comparing John Cena to open, because people will get into an argument until Kingdom Come. One turn heel, and that made a difference in his career. Okay, so guy turns heel. Whoop-de-doo. Half the crowd boos him and half the crowd cheers him. Does it have anything to do with his performance? I bet you it does. So, and in some ways it does, in some ways it doesn't. And obviously, he's lasted for 15 years. Okay. So moving forward on with the night, you see Seth and Dean in the back trying to find partners. So, of course, they want to build it up and build it up and build it up. They do a damn good job of it. Simply because Seth and Dean found the Hardy Boys. And later on, this would be the main event. Now, in between, you know, WWE likes to have fillers, right? So you got to have a filler. Well, Miz has been a filler. But you know something? There's some amazing news about Miz and Maryse. Miz and Maryse are now expecting a child, which is awesome. So congratulations to Miz and his lovely wife, Maryse. You guys, it's going to be amazing to see. It's regardless of whether it's boy or girl, that child is one lucky child. So, here's what I'm going to tell you. Monday Night Raw, just the outlook of it was pretty damn amazing. Oh, and I forgot to mention one thing after the women's match. Asuka. For those of you who haven't watched Raw, my bad, you all have Hulu, so, and I'm pretty sure it updated you on your network on your phone, or if you don't have network, you saw it on the website, and if you didn't see it on the website, you heard it from your friends, who posted a million things about Asuka going to Monday Night Raw, but I will talk about that later, part two, maybe, of Off the Rails Uncensored. So, seeing as how I have 45 minutes left to cram down your guys' ears, not throats, ears, Miz TV segment featured that announcement of him and his wife expecting a child. It also featured Enzo Amore, who came out, and he interrupted and, well, ended up being in a match with Miz, and they went back and forth. And the reason why I'm saying that Raw was a lot edgier, you'll see why, folks. I mean, you will see why. It's simply because, as I chomp on ice, they were going back and forth with insults during Miz's segment, right? You heard the Miz say the words, "You've been kicked off tour buses. You've been kicked out of the locker room. Nobody on main roster likes him." I mean, a lot of people will agree with the Miz on that assessment just because they don't like Enzo Amore. And there was a lot of truth to this. You know, you get what you put into it. But Enzo Amore, you can't deny, the fact is, he's made a lot of money on merchandise, and how do I put this? I'm reading your question. Of course. He's made a lot of merchandise sales and this, that, the other, but according to people you know on the internet who like to skew things, I am defending him, yes. To answer your question, I believe Enzo Amore deserves a chance. Do you know why? Because in 205 Live, people don't want him to win the championship because they think that'll be a mockery. But to be honest with you, Enzo Amore in 205 Live has actually boosted it. Even though you've got several talents like Drew Gulak, Brian Kendrick, Grand Metalik, Cedric Alexander, to me, they just bore people to tears. Normal fans, that is. Normal fans as in the fans who believe that their fandom is higher than others. So to answer your question, yes, Enzo Amore deserves a chance just like The Miz deserves a chance at the World Championship. Anyhow, moving forward, guys, I got a SmackDown Live preview I have to get through. So, guys, hit my music, please. Alright, folks, so the SmackDown Live preview works something like this. Tonight on SmackDown Live, the chairman of the board will be coming to SmackDown Live to assess the situation between Shane McMahon and one and the only Kevin Owens. Because last week, Daniel Bryan informed Shane that he will be suspended for his actions following suit against Kevin Owens. So you can imagine how intense this is going to be. Plus, they'll be live from Las Vegas. Following that, after, there's going to be Shayna Baszler versus Kairi Sane. Which, again, will be highly interesting. So I'm going to say this. Between SmackDown Live, which is also going to feature Carmella one-on-one, with, I believe, let me double check this. She's going one-on-one with either Natty or Naomi. My bad, folks. While we're doing that, let's do the advertisement section. If you would like to attend school out east at the Monster Factory, you can do so by going to monsterfactory.org. For more information on the tuition costs, please contact Danny Cage. His number is on the website. You can call him or text him. Please get to the point. He is a very busy man. He runs a business. It's in Paulsboro, New Jersey. The address is on the website. For those of you wanting to seek a tour, or eventually sign up, there is a camp coming up October 13th and the 14th. Be sure to sign up for the wonderful, the awesome, the amazing, the one-of-a-kind Monster Factory. So, as I said, SmackDown Live will be in Sin City in Vegas. Asuka, sadly, is not going to SmackDown Live, but this is a good, you know, move for her to go to Monday Night Raw. The women's division in SmackDown, I believe, can do just fine. Okay. So the Usos and New Day, I believe, are to face each other at SmackDown Live. So there are three championships that are happening on SmackDown Live. So I believe, now that I have my preview pulled update, thank you guys in the truck, this, of course, Vince is coming to visit, and this is going to be hella interesting. Nakamura won the right for a number one contendership match against Jinder Mahal, and now he faces him at Hell in a Cell. So I wonder. The women's championship is on the line, and Natalia versus Naomi. I wonder if Carmella is going to cash in. AJ Styles and Ty Dillinger He is held or going to be holding an open challenge. I think Baron Corbin's going to interfere. So the United States Championship, the Women's Championship, and also the Tag Team Championships. So Hell in a Cell is a SmackDown Live pay-per-view. It is coming up October 8th, which you can catch live on the WWE Network. It's $9.99 a month just to sign up. If you do not have WWE Network, you can go to your local GameStop, Dollar Generals, Best Buy, and 7-Eleven to pick up the one, the only WWE preloaded card, which you can put the code in as you type it on the website with a valid email address. So you get your first month free. You add an additional 3 months with this preloaded card. At the end of 3 months, you will be notified through email whether you want to renew or not. You can renew, choose to renew via your debit card or credit card. Make sure that you sign up for WWE Network for thousands upon thousands of hours of amazing footage on WWE Network. There's only one place to catch it. You can get that through an Apple TV box, through your computer, laptop, tablet, or any streaming device. Make sure that you're connected to Wi-Fi. And if you have strong Wi-Fi, I suggest you watch it because you'll be missing out on stuff like Table for Three and thousands upon thousands of hours on NWA, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, WCW, TNA, ECW, the good old days. All right, and also, folks, for those of you wanting to train under NWL, please go to NWLFightKansasCity.com. For more information, click on the website, call for more information. I'm sure their phone number is local. So you can click it on Google Maps. You can click in Google. We all have smartphones now. That's NWLTPC in North Kansas City. Make your dreams of becoming a pro wrestler in Kansas City complete today. So, folks, I've got 36 minutes to assess two people, actually a few situations. One being Cena and Reigns' feud, and the other being Asuka being called up to Maine and what impact that will have for the women's division on Monday Night Raw. So let's get this rolling, shall we, monkeys? I'm sorry, sometimes I like to jam out to that song because it's so awesome. Anyways, so before Mr. Awesomeness, I mean, Gil Rogers and the other awesome dude, Dart Allen, comes on our show live for Wrestle Radio at 4 p.m., I will be discussing with you my thoughts on the Cena-Roman Reigns feud. And I got to say, guys, there are two people that kind of lulled people into a false sense of security as far as from a creative standpoint, because a friend of mine and I were talking last night about this, and he's really looking forward to Reigns and Cena at No Mercy. I just want to see if the match lives up to a hype, because of all the words that are being shot back and forth from Cena to Reigns, I think what you have here, you can't classify it, you can't clarify it. It's a beautiful thing when someone goes straight from the heart and starts shooting on someone. Now, I think it's beautiful. Some may think, well, I'm just making it look bad, or, you know, I think that for me personally, from my opinion, John Cena does a wonderful job of bringing up the past, and Roman Reigns is getting there. He's starting to embrace, you know, a darker side to him. But, you know, all in all, here's what I have to tell you. Watching those two go at it was amazing. From the beginning to end of last week and this week, because Roman Reigns, some people believe that it's being written down for him on what to say to John, when in actuality, I mean, superstars, and this isn't just regarding the Cena-Reigns feud, I believe Enzo and Miz opened the can of worms between each other. WWE, are they finally starting to let loose? Because you saw The Miz light up Enzo Amore like a firecracker on the 4th of July. And Enzo, though it may have sounded like he was caught off guard from the crackle in his voice, he sounded pissed off, so he went off. And during the match, he said, "You may ask me and question my ability. You know, you may be pregnant, but I mean, the question you may be asking yourself is, who's your daddy?" I'm sorry, but that is wrong and funny at the same time. It makes for good TV when things are edgier is what I'm getting. Edgier when I was what I am getting at. Okay, enough stammering upon words. Back to main subjects at hand. So you have John Cena going against Roman Reigns. People are talking about it. There you go, goals. You know, goals for us to talk about things, I guess. So, is the WWE Universe going to be satisfied at No Mercy? I don't know, because in 2.5 weeks, it's going to be in Los Angeles, which is where I was, you know, not too long ago. And I got to say, crazier things have happened in L.A., folks. Crazier things have happened. So, just got to get used to it. You just got to get used to it. Sometimes there are feuds that are understandable. This one's kind of just thrown up, but it was bound to happen anyways, because you know that Cena can't stay out of the picture for very long. And what was funny was Roman Reigns shot back at Cena saying, "No, I'm the guy, you're right." He goes, "You're just taking all these jabs at me because you can't get through to Hollywood." So he goes, "I know a guy." It's kind of a funny jab. And then Cena went right back into saying, "Is like, you're not getting past me like a drug test." Yes, Roman Reigns, for the record, did fail a drug test. Am I going to favor one or the other? To be quite honest with you, they're not my favorite guys, but I do watch them, so I must watch the product. So that's because, the reason why I say it like that is because, look, you two guys that people despise, they don't like, care for. So here's what I'm going to tell you all. When Roman Reigns was handed the mic by John Cena, some may have said, "Well, he just handed them up because he was told to do so." I don't know, because from what it seems like, they're dragging a lot of attention in. A lot. This isn't some generic wrote up promo by the producer, you know, by the head honcho, saying, "Okay, I want you to go and convey this emotion. I want you to do this. I want you to do that." Keep in mind, folks, you know, these guys know what they're saying and how, with conviction, John Cena literally said, "With, you know, or like a drug test, you won't get past me. This will be a cakewalk." When it's funny because not too long ago, you saw Cena lose to, or not lose to Jason Jordan, but barely beat Jason Jordan as well. So this is kind of a tough spot for certain fans, an easier spot for other fans to decipher who they would like to win. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say this right now. It is on a popular opinion basis that most people will vary their opinions. So it's a split. You know, kind of like you have Democrats, Republicans, You've got Christians, you've got Catholics, you got different religions. What does this have anything to do with John Cena, Roman Reigns feud? People are going to argue to the blue in the face on why they're right, why their theory about wrestling or the Cena Reigns feud is correct. So, where do I stand? Okay, Joe, to answer your question, I personally would like to see Roman Reigns be victorious. That doesn't necessarily mean I favor him or I like him or like any of his matches that he's been in. What's funny is he says that he's been in quality matches over the last 2 years. Define quality. Okay, because people on the internet, and not just on the internet, but on the street will say, I don't like him because he retired The Undertaker. People will say, I don't like John Cena because he buried my favorite guy, or, you know, he took the spotlight away from this guy. Funny story, folks. If you're the company favorite or favorites, you might as well take two names out of the hat, and those being John Cena and Roman Reigns. They are company favorites in WWE. Now, people say, well, what does that have to do anything with the match? Again, the reason why I decided to answer your question is because it bears repeating. Okay. What bears repeating is there's so many times when you watch wrestling and you say to yourself, okay, which person am I going to pull for in this match? Your question to me was, why have I always been negative towards John Cena? Why have I, you know, never given him leeway? So, you guys, I've been objective. There's a difference. If I was negative about him, I would say, well, he needs to work on this. Man, he needs to work on that. Seems like they're letting him loose, so I'm being kind of positive, don't you think? I mean, at least that's what I think. So most of the time, when you have two combustible elements, you see a consequence, right? How is this going to take away from the attention of Braun Strowman and, well, I don't know, Brock Lesnar, who are going, you know, to face each other for the Universal Championship? I do think they're going to protect Lesnar again, and he is going to retain the championship. So whatever you decide to do, you know, watching it, doing whatever, just remember one thing. Wrestling is wrestling, so pick whoever you want to face. You know, pick your poison. Heel or face, babyface, it doesn't matter. Okay? So, if you want to cheer for Enzo, that's cool. If you want to cheer for Miz, that's fine. If you wanted to cheer for the Hardy Boys or Cesaro and Sheamus, great. Some people like different things. So we're living in a world where it's very much so, if you can't like this, then you're not my friend. Well, in the wrestling world, it's, if you like this person, I'm going to condemn you for liking them. Look, guys, I'm not a Roman Reigns fan. I definitely, certainly, the hell am not. However, I do find it entertaining that most of you are telling me that you don't want to see either of these two in the ring, and I am completely with you on that. However, we have to have matches, okay? And obviously, this one's going to take front and center. Might be the first match of the night, so we can get it out of the way, correct? So, please note that when you watch this feud unfold, is it like any other wrestling feud where you're actually amped up to see it? No, in some instances, and I'm gonna, just saying it from my perspective, no, for me. Other people say, I actually may just want to see it. Why? What's your reasoning? So the fact that, you know, you want to see two of the top company people that basically have the main spotlight on them majority of their careers because they work hard, poor them, or bad them for doing so. I'm just answering your question accordingly, dude. If you asked me, I thought of this match and I gave you the direct answer. I don't think it's a damn good match. I just think it's horrible. So in the last 22 minutes, ladies and gents, I'm going to be discussing in between both Asuka being called up to main roster and also what impact it's going to have on the women's division. And then I'm going to float back to Cena and Reigns and why their feud is yay or nay, good or bad. I don't give a fuck. Obviously, I must have because I'm talking about them. But anyways, so Asuka is coming up to the main roster on Monday Night Raw. According to how things played out, Kurt Angle got a hold of Asuka, worked out a wonderful deal. I think this is going to be great because Raw has at least, well, Nia Jax faced off with Asuka before and took her to the absolute limit, but Asuka was undefeated for the longest time in NXT. This woman held that title for a long period of time, okay? Bayley, you know, respectively held that title for a little bit. Nia Jax, you know, before Asuka defeated her and went on to hold the title for a year. So you're looking at some, you're not just looking at any old talent that just came up from NXT and WWE developmental work with her and transformed her. No. This woman brings a uniqueness to the Raw roster, which is in need of variety. Not that Emma's not variety, not that Sasha Banks is variety, but they all follow the same suit of your stereotypical Barbie doll gimmick, which is funny because they actually have Barbie dolls of themselves. I believe, you know, this is a fair assumption because, or fair judgment, because take a look. You have Alexa Bliss, you've got Nia Jax. Nia Jax is different, so I guess I can't say for all of the women. You've got Alicia Fox, who barely is on main roster anymore. You have Sasha Banks, yikes, and not in a bad way, but just yikes, because from a personal perspective, she's not the most friendly, okay? From, no, like if you were a fan trying to get her autograph for, you know, a cousin or two, not me, but I saw this in Brooklyn, and I understand where she's coming from. That's aside from the point. Then you have Mickie James. You've got a person who took 6 months on the freaking Titantron, Emma. She's got an amazing talent, but she took forever and a day to get her name over. You know, change it, basically. What impact is Asuka going to have on Maine? That's like asking the question, what if Ric Flair was to come back to wrestling and be a general manager? You don't know. Because it's like going to into uncharted territories. You don't know what Asuka is capable of. Well, if you haven't watched her in NXT and you just are a main roster watcher, that's fine. Go back on the network and watch her on NXT. You will be chomping at the bit to see what this talent can do. Not only has she beaten the likes of Nia Jax, she's beaten a lot of people in fatal four ways, triple threats, like Nikki Cross, Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, Ruby Riott. I mean, she's beaten people that normally, I mean, a lot of women would not pursue, okay? Now, this was the same kind of talk that I was talking about, oh, I can't believe they haven't called Bayley up. There's a difference between Bayley and Asuka. Asuka you know what she is capable of. Bayley, you wondered if she could transition quite well into main, and she kind of did, but not really. And who's to be the judge on that? Who's to say she can't get better? But I'm just saying, there's a difference. Asuka brings about some intrigue, some just raw flavor, and that's, she can literally go toe-to-toe and destroy every single person on Raw's roster. The only person that ever put up a decent fight against her, well, she was watching the monitor in the back. I'll give you a hint. Name is Nia Jax. I don't think anybody wants a piece of Asuka. She's kind of like the female Shinsuke Nakamura. I know that's an intriguing comparison. You know, they're both live wires. They love the fans. They love competing in WWE. Asuka's impact on main roster is as follows. She's going to do Simply Amazing. She's going to kill it. I don't believe, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that as soon as she recovers from that broken collarbone, probably in the middle of next year, she's going to be there, folks. She is going to be there. So, please, by all means, pay attention. Watch each show that passes by and watch her matches. Go back and watch some of her very first matches on NXT, and not just NXT. Watch her stuff in Japan. She's amazing. So, what does this mean for SmackDown Live's women's roster? I mean, you have to look it up. There's Natalia, there's Carmella, had I wished that Asuka, is that what you're asking? Had I wished that she was a part of SmackDown Live? I don't know. Because in my opinion, from what I've seen on SmackDown Live, I don't think there's anybody that could go toe-to-toe with her unless there was some huge interference spots that were planned, you know, or something like that with her. But like I said, she loves to compete. I bet you she's bored out of her mind right now. Maybe she's enjoying time off. But I believe, you know, from seeing her in NXT, Zelina, NXT, Brooklyn, twice I saw her at San Antonio. So really I've seen her a few times in person live. Now, doesn't mean I'm going to quit watching just because I've seen her live. And I can't wait to see her on Monday Night Raw. Why, if she comes to Brooklyn, you know, for Raw, hell yeah, I'm going to watch. Or if she goes to, you know, the pay-per-view where those are the most is from, I might go to watch her, might. I wonder when she's going to, though, because the collarbone injury, there's a lot of rehabilitations that go on in behind the scenes, so you never know. Folks, I got 15 minutes left. I got an hour or half an hour where Wrestle Radio will be underway. So, and by the way, this is our 87th episode. We are 12 episodes away from making it to 100. I don't know if that makes any significance. 100 episodes for the year. Pretty awesome if you ask me. We're going to get there easy because it's, you know, 12 episodes. Anyways, minor segue to back to John Cena, Roman Reigns. When I look at Roman Reigns, I see a guy that started out in 2009. He was an OVW dude. He replaced Cassius Ohno, who was supposed to be the original member of the Shield. That's not why I dislike him. I just don't like, you know, his in-ring stuff. It just, to me, screams repetitive, bland. You know, I mean, some workers will tell you, I like that because then I know what I'm up against, I know what I'm getting. Other workers will tell you, man, it's hard to work. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do that. Again, there's certain stuff that can be nitpicked about certain people. Roman Reigns might be his mic skills. That's one thing that bugs me. But that, other than that, all around good guy. I met him once, and he seems like a decent human being. So, what am I judging my? What am I basing this match off of? Is it the personality? Part of it is. John Cena can come across as somebody who, you know, he started out his career in 1999. You can tell he's a gentleman who got behind that, or a gentleman who got behind him as the prototype, one and the only Kenny Starmaker Bowen. Now, whether you love him or you hate him, and you hate, you know, see, hating guys is easy to do. Like, I mean, I hate that guy. I can rephrase it like, I don't really care for him, or I don't really like it, or I don't really like what he does. What about John Cena? What about the tale of John Cena? Well, he's been in the business for literally, let's see, 99, so 18 years he's been around in this wrestling business. And I'm pretty sure he could tell stories. Now, he came about, you know, he started the Ruthless Aggression era. He started off in red trunks, I remember, against Kurt Angle. So there's that. There's a newfound respect for that. How did this feud come about? Well, you see, Roman Reigns has been, you know, perceived as this guy who's been dragging his feet by certain fans. Dragging his feet as in he just lives off the fact that he beat The Undertaker. He lives off the fact that he demonstrated, you know, some form of boringness, the way he talks, the way he, you know, never changed his in-ring gear, whereas, you know, Dean and Rollins, they changed their gimmick because they wanted to stand out. So I guess I can kind of see where people are upset about him not doing that. How did this feud come about? Well, it all happened when John Cena came to Monday Night Raw a few weeks back. And of all places, thinking back in Brooklyn, New York, okay, definitely a shock factor value. You see John Cena come in the ring, and then you see Roman Reigns, which is a double-edged sword, because why? Fans just want to boo against him or want to hate him. No, it's not because they want to. There's several factors. The company should have taken advantage of, you know, certain guys being in the business, like Samoa Joe. He got hurt. Against who? John Cena. Is it certain people's fault during, you know, I have to always go back and watch matches and see if it's totally one guy's fault or the other. And also, guys, there's certain things that make no sense. Like, he's got five moves to do. Yeah, it's because, like Hogan, like all the good names, they stick to the same mantra so that other guys don't get hurt. They keep changing it up, you know. That leaves for more injury. Well, they get hurt regardless. John Cena's been thrown through a spotlight, fallen off a cage, fallen onto a table, been speared, you know, by Edge, who had a biker helmet on. There's a long list. But why did this feud start? Because Cena felt that he had to come back and retake the spotlight, and by, you know, retaking his throne, which people would love to kick him off, he, in some shape or form, has better way of handling the mic skill. He doesn't sound robotic. Doesn't sound highly boring. Okay? So, case in point, whenever you watch wrestling, and now, for example, it's a bit toned down, but Monday Night Raw with Cena and Reigns, I gotta give them props, man. Well, because most people don't want to see this match, and it's for a reason, okay? It's just a filler match to me. I really want to see Braun Strowman and Lesnar. I'd much rather see Samoa Joe involved in the match again, because from my perspective, you bring in a guy like Joe, you're going to have, you know, elements in the match that includes submission, one kick to the face, you know, knock you backwards. Hell, the four-way match wasn't bad in Brooklyn. Most people say that match was brutal, was terrible, you know, with the outcome, of course, because people are very fickle when it comes to deciding who they want, to be represented by. That's fine. That's okay. No worries. Okay? But before I go, folks, before I go head over to Queens and do the show from there, I got one final thought to leave you guys with. Whenever they say that this is, you know, they're building up a match, whenever they say, you know, we have this, we're going to present it to you guys and see what the fans, how the fans react to it, it surprised a lot of us that they're letting loose with Reigns and Cena. It's amazing. I mean, you'd think things would be written down and nobody would say anything or damn thing, but tell you the honest God truth, I'm impressed with how loose they're letting Cena go. So, that being said, folks, I got to prepare for Wrestle Radio. I thank you for listening to part one of Off the Rails Uncensored. Guys, could you please hit my theme as I get ready to hop on a queue? That means, yeah, I'm getting ready to head out, folks. I thank you for listening to Off the Rails Uncensored Part 1. Hit my music, fellas. The cost of something.